Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Sup?
Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Excited to be back with more Lucha Lowdown, more Lucha Libre content. Lucha Underground Season 3 is still on their mid-season break, but I mean, you kind of can see the light at the end of the tunnel if, you know, things are to be believed that they're coming back at the end of May. I mean, I guess we have just about a month left until they return. So, I mean, it does feel like it's taken a while, but at least we're almost through it now. You know, we can, this is more manageable, and it will coincide, you know, with towards the end of basketball season. So I'll be able to fully enjoy it and everything like that. But we're going to keep continuing on here with our sort of new format. We're no longer doing the greatest hits that they're being put on El Rey Network. It's just too much with the four episodes a night and everything like that. And
I think it's back to two episodes.
I do, yeah, but then we miss so many, you know.
And also, actually, they're doing season three now, which I'm pretty sure we've covered all
those
episodes.
We have, yes. Yeah. But so we're doing a new thing here. So last episode, we talked about two Lucha Libre documentaries, Tales of Masked Men and Lucha Mexico. If you haven't seen those, definitely recommend those. And then tonight, we are going to be reviewing our very first Lucha Libre star film. So wrestler, luchador, turned superstar actor, like the precursor to The Rock. And as we were talking about when we were discussing Tales of Masked Men and just everything that El Santo did, naturally, he is our first choice to review one of his films. So we were all cards on the table. We were looking for the movie that was featured in Tales of Masked Men, where it showed Santo waving this giant cross at like some, what I assumed were like vampire women or vampire looking type women, and defeating them. That is not what we found.
No,
but it is actually one of his most famous movies and one of his most successful ones. We watched and we will review as much as we can. Santo versus La Mujeres Vampiro, or as it was known in America, Samson versus the Vampire Women. And
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so we watched an English dubbed version. I would be down to go back and watch like just a subtitled Spanish version. I think that would be
I'd prefer that, but I don't know if that exists. And my Spanish is too weak in order for me to just listen to the original.
I think we could probably find it somewhere. But like
I said, it's on YouTube also. I mean, not dubbed. I mean, I'm not with subtitles, but at least the original format is also on YouTube.
Gotcha. According to my wiki research, this is in fact Santo's best known movie outside of Mexico. And it's considered one of his best. I gotta be honest, man. I really enjoyed this. Like when you texted me, like you know, I asked Jeff because Jeff, you watched it before I did.
I
was like, you know, how was the movie? And you just said cough, and not wanting to offer me a response. I think you and I had two very different viewing experience here. Because I really enjoyed watching this. This would be right at home. I love Halloween and everything like that. So this movie would be right at home with some of the horror film, you know, marathons that I put on in October and everything like that. I enjoyed watching this. What was your overall take on Santo versus Las Mujeres Vampiro?
I know of your silly Halloween traditions. It's not even that it's a bad movie. It's just it's an old movie, and it's very much like movies were like back then. And I think that's part of my problem with it. It's not that different from, well, I guess it would be older movies in the United States, but like classic Universal horror films.
It's true.
It's very similar to that. As a kid, I would have liked this, especially with, this is how you would sell it to me on paper. It's a professional wrestler fighting vampires.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sold. If it was Hulk Hogan as a child, that would have been my favorite movie.
I was actually thinking about that while I was watching it too. The exact thought was, when I was like, dude, if I was a kid, I would watch this movie all of the time. Because like you said, it's a pro wrestler, which I love. It's a horror film, which I also loved growing up. And it's also sort of superhero-esque, and it's this guy doing, like, his destiny is to do battle with evil, and he's a pro wrestler. I loved all the lore that they were setting up with Santo here, and I can see why, sort of because of his film fame, that he had to go from being a rudo to a Technico, because, you know, they really set him up here as sort of this paragon type character. I thought it was very cool. Like you said, it is very much so akin to the classic Universal styled films. Like, it was right at home with those. And this, granted, this did come out, you know, sometime later. This came out in 1962. But I don't know. I thought it was really enjoyable. Some things that stood out to you in this movie. Like, I'm not gonna lie and say it's, like, you know, the greatest movie ever, but this was a fun watch. I would love to watch it, you know, like, in a group of people, and especially any Lucha Libre and or horror fans.
That's a different experience that I would enjoy. Yeah. Because I was thinking as I was watching it, I wished I was watching it with somebody else, because then I think it would have been more fun and we could have been talking about it as it was going on.
Yeah, definitely. Dude, but changing his name to Samson, not a fan of that.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, though. That's weird, you know, American translation and things changing and stuff like that. Because they probably, you know, the way they test it, it's like, oh, well, Santo doesn't really ring with the Americans. It's like, you know, let's change it to Samson, which
they're like, Santo,
you know,
sounds awful foreign. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
very, that's very why. True. But I do like it because some of the things that jumped out to me were there are two very extended wrestling scenes in this movie.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you do well, and Santo is a wrestler, so.
It was cool watching him wrestle.
It was like just watching a wrestling match.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, it was a very prolonged scene with, like, no dialogue and, you know,
bizarre.
No. Yeah, it went on just a little too long, but I do like that I think it's in the second, it might have been the first one, but you hear the crowd just chanting Santo, though, and not Samson, so.
Yeah, that is one of the, yeah, the mistakes for the English version.
That's, you know, they didn't really clean that up. But right off the bat, though, when the vampires are coming to life, when they become young again, my God, the vampire priestess, the actress name, she's passed away. She actually died very young. Ophelia Montesco. Dude, sign me up, man. She was a babe.
She was crazy hot. I definitely would have help them capture that daughter for her.
Yeah, and so was the vampire queen too. They were killing it, man. I guess that was sort of a trend of the day, is that casting, like, just ridiculously hot women to be vampires back in the day of Hollywood here. But Jeff, give me more. What did you think? What stood out to you in this movie?
Well, I mean, I want to give credit where credit's due. If not for this film, I don't know if someone like Triple H would have been the sixth lead in Blade Trinity.
Good for you. Very good for you.
I liked the wrestling. I liked the idea of who Santa's character was in terms of fighting evil. I'll tell you what I liked was, I guess it was like the final match when his opponent was resting and the vampire guy came and wrestled him, took his place so that he would fight Santa in the ring instead.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool.
What I liked a lot about that scene is that he took his place, and then during the match when he pulls the mask off and he's a vampire that has turned into a werewolf in the ring. I don't know. He looked like the classic Universal werewolf, the Wolfman. And I don't know. I thought that was a legitimately awesome scene. Again, as somebody that's a fan of the old Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney Jr. Universal horror films, Bela Lugosi just would have totally fit with all that, and it added in the wrestling element. And I thought that second wrestling scene was much more, it made much more sense for it to go on the length that it did. And I like the explanation in the corner. He's like, he's using karate on me. He's trying to kill me with, like, one blow, and just reminded me of Batman, the animated series. I don't know, with the ninja trying to use the death touch.
You got to wear that foam over the chest.
Yeah. But El Santo, the hero that he is, just willing to press on. I liked, again, the lore of this thing. As far as that, this is Santo is the descendant of this, like, long line of heroes, and it was his destiny to defeat this like coven of vampire women. And I thought that was great.
It's the seventh son of a seventh son.
Pretty much, yeah, absolutely. Some other thoughts that come to mind here, and we'll talk about some other what I think are pretty cool, pretty funny scenes. One of the things I'm dead serious about, though, is as I was watching this, I think it would be super awesome because they go into the lore of these vampire priestesses and everything like that, and how there's this whatever, the vampire queen Therina and everything like that was supposed to find a new host, and then it would if they had done that, it basically would have given them dominion over sunlight and all these different things, and the crosses wouldn't harm them and all that jazz. Basically, whatever the lore that they were laying out, for the vampire women, I want a callback to Katrina in Lucha Underground with this. I want there to be some type of lore tie-in. I want them to tie in Santo. I think if they somehow tied it back in, that would be really awesome. Thoughts?
I can't disagree. That would be awesome. But I wouldn't hold your breath.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but I mean, if there was even just some subtle reference, you could even mention somebody else's name, like Therina, or what was the other one's, the priestess name, like Tondra or something like that. Even just vaguely, mentioning it.
That would be pretty cool.
I would be...
to make this movie canon?
Yeah, dude, I think it should be canon in Lucha Underground that Santo was put on this earth to fight evil. Is that so ludicrous for Lucha Underground?
No, I think it's totally appropriate. The only problem is then, who else then is
Blue Demon
supposed to be doing?
I think Blue Demon should come back.
If you have Blue Demon return?
Yeah, I think Blue Demon Jr. should return, and I think he should make a noble sacrifice.
Then if Blue Demon Jr. returns, they should reference the Blue Demon movie that talked about his origins.
I agree with that, too.
Okay.
Which was probably going to be one that we watch next.
Yeah.
So,
I would like to watch a Blue Demon movie.
But I was watching them. I was like, dude, these are devastatingly beautiful, evil women. I was like, where do I know where I watch a devastatingly beautiful, evil woman on the weekly? Oh, yeah, Lucha Underground. It's freaking Katrina. And if they just did something subtle, it would make me so happy. Like you said, just to make this movie canon and everything like that. Just even again, just to make it so that's the canon of Lucha Underground is that Santo was a descendant, a long line of luchador superheroes. Awesome. So that's what I want.
Well, when you put it that way.
Yeah. Who could say no to that?
Yeah. Who could say no to that?
And they're already going down this path as far as, what's going on with the Aztec gods and everything like that. There's already all these elements that I just think it would really fit naturally. It would not be a stretch at all.
It wouldn't be a stretch, especially like you said, the Katrina character basically is already all of this, to a certain extent. I mean, she's a witch, not a vampire, but I mean, otherwise she'd fit right in with them.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have to be directly tied to them. She could just know
of
them.
Yeah, just something like that. Yeah.
And what happened.
Yeah, all bad guys
know
each other.
Yeah. So that is one thing that came to mind. I was disappointed that this was not the movie where he picked up the giant cross and started waving it at them.
So was I. I didn't realize that Santo fought that many vampires. When I found this on YouTube,
it's kind of his thing, bro. That's what they put him on Earth for.
Yeah, I know. I'm an idiot. Well, I didn't know that until I watched the movie. Now I know. Now I'll be surprised if I watch a Santo movie and he's not fighting vampires.
That's true. Well, he does fight Martians in one. I know that. But watch that. Watch, that's the one where he uses the cross.
God hates aliens.
Other things that jumped out to you about this while you were watching, just anything funny or whatever that struck you.
I thought the professor father was an idiot. and then two, the cops were so inept, and I liked them as characters, like the inspector or whatever. But every time he would just blow his whistle and then everybody was supposed to come and run. She escaped the party by turning off the lights in the room.
it's like
you guys can't swarm faster than that?
It's like a Pink Panther movie.
Yeah.
I liked
I told you though, I was thinking of Ed Wood. It would have been great if this was an Ed Wood film.
You're right on the money.
I think a vampire would trip over the coffee table if the lights were turned off.
I think it's one of the things that stood out to me and that I just thought was hilarious was when they were at the whatever, like the dinner party, the masquerade ball, and the one dude just caught leaning like multiple times, like, who is that? She's very beautiful.
Wasn't wrong.
No,
man, just dance with the girl you came with.
I know, but he's dancing with her and he just keeps looking over. It's like, dude.
All right, listen, he was being hypnotized. That's another thing. They utilized it a lot in this film. They utilized it a lot in all the classic vampire movies, is the hypnotism part, because It's low special effects. It's just acting.
Yeah, zoom in on the eyes.
And I wish vampire movies nowadays would do that more, because it's an important power that vampires have.
Yeah.
And then it's so perfect with female vampires, because it's all seductive.
Yeah, no, very true. I legitimately liked when, also at the Masquerade, when she was looking in her compact mirror and saw how they really looked, and then they shattered it. I thought that was cool.
And, like, disappeared into smoke or something. And then the cops.
Just a couple of jealous Bettys sitting over there, too, snooping in on that conversation.
Well, because she was sitting at that table with a couple of men, and two of them were sitting by themselves.
Just a couple old spinster
hags.
Snoops. No, they didn't look like hags, though. I would break every mirror in my home. I don't care.
I thought you already sold your soul to Katrina. You can't sell your soul to these ladies.
It's different canon, different timeline.
It's not going to be different canon for long, according to you.
I hope not, dude. Man, it would be so awesome.
Same universe.
Yeah, shared universe with this is what I want. I think
comic book crossover.
One of the other things, so basically, this movie could have used more Santo, is one thing I will
say. This movie would have worked without Santo if they had decided to just make the cops more confident. One of them, like a lead character instead.
That's one of the things that I was thinking about too, as far as like, it's sort of like that stupid theory that people put out there about Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's like, oh, the same thing would have happened without Indiana Jones. I think that's dumb. But
who would have brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the United States?
Santo's real skill here was just delaying them, essentially. Because they had to get this done before the rising of the sun at a certain point when this broad turned 21 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Diana.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, she's a nice lady. And he did that, but only because he sort of like distracted them long enough. He like didn't defeat them before they could really sacrifice her or take over her body. He just sort of, you know, was a pest long enough to where the sun started to rise.
Which it really has more to do with classic vampire lore, where it's not like we're just kicking their asses, but we would just be more a thorn in their side.
I guess that's fair, too.
Also, I don't know if anybody else would have been able to hold them off as long as Santo did.
That is also true. And he was very brave about it. I will say that. He went willingly. Yeah. We did get him pulling himself off that slab, though, which is something that I guess he does in multiple movies as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think a wrestler would just roll off the slab once he frees himself.
I liked him going up the stairs. He like went off the top rope though and clotheslined the guy. That was awesome.
That was so perfect.
That was great. And another thing in the wrestling scenes, I mean, you do get to see him lock in his, I mean, he was the innovator of the camel clutch. So that was his finisher. So I do think it's cool that we got to see that a couple times in this movie. And one thing about Santo,
he calls it like the vampire's crucifix.
Yes, he does. Yeah, it's the Holy Cross. But I will say this about Santo. And one thing I thought is like, if he were a Skyrim player, he clears a dungeon like I clear a dungeon. As far as with those, he treated them like they were just a coven of witches, just burning them and everything like that. It's like, dude,
burning scene was terrific.
You cleared this level, but he's going to make sure to get all of the loot and make sure that every boss is completely cleared out of this dungeon. And it's just, yeah, I thought it was great. They're all going back into their coffins, and he's just open up, and you just hear him scream.
Torch, yeah, and screaming.
It's like Bane and Batman and Robin. Bomb.
Torch. Hey, you know what? That's how I clear dungeons, too, so I guess us Nords and Imperials aren't that different, right?
Oh, well, yeah, and Santos. But I just, I legitimately love that scene. It's like, nope, you guys aren't getting off the hook yet.
Of vampire ladies. He's not going to just let them continue.
But, I mean, they were pretty much defeated at that point, right?
Well, I mean, couldn't they always come back?
I guess they could, yeah, through
like
another
that?
Descendant.
Just burn them.
Yeah. Of course, no, you have to kill them all.
I agree.
But
you did the right thing.
It was I did appreciate that scene just because like they were not putting up a fight, and he just
well, that's how you used to kill vampires in movies though. You would always get them when they were vulnerable because you can't hold your own against them.
Of course,
Blade ruined all of that.
Yeah, but it was amusing to me because it's also like, and again, much like Lucha Underground, egalitarian in terms of how it treats the men and women dynamic. It was just like, no F's given, dude. No miedos given. You're all getting burned. Clearing this dungeon. This house is clear.
one good thing about it being an older film is everything's just black and white. You know, no shades of gray, no sympathetic vampires. They're evil. We just kill them.
Yeah, very, very true. But yeah, no, I appreciated that. Anything else that jumped out to you?
No, those. I think we've talked about all my favorite parts.
You did not like the professor at all. I liked his technology that he had. It was like Dick Tracy esque or Batman the TV show esque with all the tech he had in his study. Just all of a sudden, he's got this fancy ass TV that can go, you know, via satellite to Santo, driving in his very nice car. Well, by the way,
wrestler and an actor, he's
silver mask, silver car.
Well, there was a line early in the film when it may have been the inspector talking to the professor, or it was somebody else, and just saying it's like, oh, you're sad that you're losing a daughter or something like that, because she was going to move out, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, what if all of this is really just the professor's imagination? And it was his way to just keep her living with him.
Yeah. Well,
turned out not to be the case.
They did think he was kind of paranoid kook. I did like the line when they first did battle with him. He's like, none of you say anything about this. They'll throw us all in the booby hatch. I haven't heard that term in a really long time. But yeah, this one, I think it would have benefited from watching it with in Spanish with English subtitles. Could have done with more Santo. I'll say that again. I would have liked to have seen more of him. Dude, it took a long time for him even just to show up.
Dude, that's what was driving me nuts as I was watching it.
I was like, is one of these guys going to end up being Santo? Like, obviously not really him, but like they're going to try and act like that.
The character in the movie.
Yeah. But once he did show up, it was great. Again, that first wrestling scene, though, no dialogue, just went on a little too long.
They're telling a story in the ring, man.
Oh, I know, and it was a great story. It was fun watching him wrestle. So if you don't have anything else to add, I think we can go ahead and rate this one. And I got to say, Jeff, well, actually, before we get to rating it, let's take a quick little commercial break here to thank you, the fans of Lucha Lowdown, for listening to this podcast. Thank you very much. If you want to help us out, you can rate us and review us on iTunes. And if you've not already subscribed to us on there and Audio Boom, please do so. That is the best way you can help us here at the podcast. Also, word of mouth is the best way to get the word out about us here at Lucha Lowdown. At Lucha Lowdown on Twitter if you want to connect with us. Season 3 is coming back soon. We're going to be live tweeting the episodes again. That's going to be a lot of fun. I love interacting with you on there that way. That's some of the most fun I have on my Wednesday nights as we watch Lucha Underground together and all enjoy it. LuchaLowdown at gmail.com is another great way to get a hold of us. I love interacting with you on there. Also, another plug for the Cal Palace Royale up here in San Francisco, All Pro Wrestling, the very hallowed indie promotion up here in San Francisco. You may know them from Beyond the Mat, but they've been doing so much more before and since then, and they are running a monster show. It's the first time an independent promotion is going to be running the Cal Palace in 35 years. Lots of Lucha Underground stars like Joey Ryan, Brian Cage, Johnny Mundo, Jeff Cobb, who plays Matanza, all going to be there. And many more others. We, 107.7 The Bone here at the radio station San Francisco, Baby Huey and I, we just interviewed Cody Rhodes, who is main eventing the event with Joey Ryan in a steel cage. So be sure to check out those interviews as well, 107.7thebone.com. And check out All Pro Wrestling. If you're all in the greater West Coast area, it's going to be a show worthwhile coming out to. And with that, that is going to do it for this little advertisement. Get the word out, though. We love talking to you, believers, and it's been great fun. Can't wait for Lucha Underground Season 3 to come back. And if you haven't rated Lucha Underground 5 stars on Netflix yet, do that as well. All right, as we wrap up here, though, our very first Luchador movie review, Santo versus Las Mujeres Vampiro, or in America, Samson versus the Vampire Woman. Don't like the Samson. I mean, I get it. It's a cool name, but just disappointed translation there. But what do you rate it, Jeff? And spoiler alert, I am uniformly converting all of our rating systems to the same thing because your idea about the Aztec medallions is the best idea ever, so that's what we're doing.
Should it still be on a 5 scale, or are we doing 7?
Damn, that's a great question. What do you think?
Because I thought about that. You know what? I did add a 5 last time, and it felt wrong to me. I say let's do it out of 7.
Let's do it then. It's going to throw some some weird
I know it's ruining the market as far as all of our conversion scales with our ratings, but I think we have to do it.
I'm into that. So what do you give it then?
I'm going to give it 3 out of 7 Aztec medallions, because I still appreciate it for what it is, as far as more of like a classic movie. But I just, it was hard to hold my attention in 2017.
I'm gonna give it 5 out of 7 Aztec medallions, because this was, I love one that this is our first one. It is an iconic Santo film. I love the lore. I love classic horror films, and this certainly was that. And so it hit me in all those old American movie classic type of feels, and it incorporating the pro wrestling, the superhero aspect of it. So I thoroughly enjoyed watching this, and I can only imagine how much more fun it'd be watching it in a group of people and stuff like that. So this was a lot of fun for me. And I mean, just the idea of somehow tying this back into Lucha Underground now holds my interest very much. So I know it's not going to happen, but it could happen. So that's all I'm saying.
You know
saying.
What? Until they say it didn't happen, we could just say it's in the same universe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's going on in Dario Cueto's office? I don't know. Vampire Coven was there at one point in time. Who knows? Something.
A lot of weird stuff.
Maybe Katrina was their leader anyway, the evil one. Who knows? I don't know. Some crazy stuff could happen. Perhaps she's just possessed in that beautiful body. But I really enjoyed this a lot, and I enjoyed talking about it. We're going to do more. Hopefully they're all as fun as this one. Hope you enjoyed listening to our review. We're going to post the link to what we watched. Fast forward through all the sort of side stuff if you want to watch.
That guy's guacamole looked awful. Did you watch any of that?
No, so full disclosure as we get out of here is that we found like a link to it that was like sort of a bootleg Mystery Science Theater type show, or like a...
But Lucha themed.
A Lucha themed, yeah, kind of like... what's the... not Vampirella,
Oh, Elvira.
Yeah, kind of like an Elvira-esque type show, but very like, you know.
It reminded me of, do you remember Dinner in a Movie that was like on TNT
yes,
or TBS?
Yes, yes, yes.
Back in the 90s? Yeah,
very
it was like
much
that
so like
they're,
that.
They're making a meal while they're talking about it. They're wearing luchador masks as they're doing it. The guy made the ugliest looking guacamole, though. I don't know how you screw up guacamole, but he did.
I had no patience for that, though. So I fast forward through those scenes. But we'll post the link to what we watched to Twitter and our Facebook. So you can watch along or not, but we encourage you to do so. And yeah, just share your thoughts with what you thought about it. I think it's fun to go back and watch movies like this, but I'm an old movie buff, so it is definitely an acquired taste. But this was great, great start and great fun. We'll be back with more at some point here as we wait for Lucha Underground to end their interminable mid-season break here for season 3. Can't wait for it to come back. But with that is going to do it for us here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.